Imagine walking into a barber shop and discovering that the person cutting your hair holds the keys to financial freedom. This is the premise of David Chilton's revolutionary book that transformed how millions approach money. What makes this book so powerful isn't complex investment strategies or get-rich-quick schemes. It's the simple, timeless wisdom delivered through engaging storytelling. The fundamental truth that underpins all financial success is disarmingly straightforward. You must spend less than you earn. This isn't revolutionary, it's common sense that many of us consistently ignore. We're incredibly skilled at consumption, but terrible at saving, often starting poor habits early in our careers when retirement seems distant and irrelevant. The encouraging news? A small reduction in spending creates a dramatic increase in savings. Cutting spending by just 6.25% can boost your savings rate by 150%. Reducing a $4,000 monthly spending habit to $3,750 frees up $250, which could grow to over $100,000 in 20 years at a modest 6% return. This doesn't require living miserably, just exercising a little discipline in daily choices like coffee purchases, entertainment subscriptions, and impulse shopping. Why is saving so difficult? Because nearly everyone wants you to spend. Your children want the latest gadgets, friends suggest expensive outings, and banks profit from your borrowing. Governments prefer spending to boost GDP. Marketers invest billions studying consumer psychology to create emotionally compelling ads, while credit card companies design reward programs to increase spending. Social media further fuels consumption through lifestyle comparisons. When it comes to saving, your only allies are your future self and a few financial educators. The financial industry profits more from your borrowing than your wise investing. With these odds, spending less than you earn is challenging, and your toughest opponent is yourself. Our natural tendency to prioritize immediate gratification makes saving psychologically difficult. Yet, living within your means remains possible. Successful savers typically automate their savings, pay themselves first, and focus on value rather than status when purchasing. They understand that wealth isn't about income level, it's about the gap between earning and spending. Beyond basic needs, we're trapped in a cycle of wanting more. What we see on TV, what friends have, what wealthy people possess, and newer versions of our possessions. We mistake these desires for essentials to happiness, when our possessions often distract us from what truly matters. Our brains contain two competing systems, the logical executive that handles reasoning and planning, and the primitive lizard brain, responding to emotions and immediate desires. Immediate rewards activate both systems, while delayed rewards only activate the executive, explaining our struggle with delayed gratification. This wiring served our ancestors, but poorly equips us for modern financial planning. Rather than constantly fighting temptation, we can avoid it entirely or make it harder to act upon. One woman froze her credit cards in ice, requiring a day-long thaw that cooled her impulses. Limiting access to money creates the external discipline many lack. Everything in life is relative. How we feel about our possessions depends largely on what others have. We struggle to appreciate what we own on its merits, constantly comparing ourselves to others, creating what philosopher Ivan Illich described as a cycle of enslaving envy and consumption. Modern friendships formed at work, gyms, or online expose us to much wider income ranges than the neighborhood-based friendships of the past. These reference groups influence our spending decisions, often leading us to act richer than we are through easy credit. Rather than limiting your reference group to financial peers, expand it globally. As Canadians, we've won the country of residence lottery, yet focus on what we lack compared to the wealthy, treating the absence of luxuries as deprivation, while billions worldwide lack basic necessities. The average Canadian lives better than royalty did decades ago. Perspective breeds gratitude, which helps control spending. As Harold Coffin noted, envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. When Mark Quinn sought help for his overspending habit, he received simple advice: learn to say, "I can't afford it." Though initially skeptical, these four words transformed his finances and reduced stress. Rather than limiting, this phrase is liberating, freeing you from pressure to live beyond your means. French philosopher Denis Diderot's 1772 essay illustrates how one purchase triggers another. After receiving an elegant scarlet gown, Diderot felt compelled to replace his furnishings to match. He lamented, "I was absolute master of my old dressing gown, but I have become a slave to my new one." We all have some Diderot in us. Our most dangerous reference point isn't wealthy friends, but our past selves. Yesterday's purchases influence today's spending decisions. Home renovations demonstrate this effect dramatically, with "while we're at it" being the four most expensive words in English. Many financial troubles stem from excessive renovations, often prioritizing luxuries over retirement savings. The cornerstone of financial success is forced savings techniques. Save first, spend the rest leads to wealth. Spend first, save the rest leads to struggle. This simple concept dramatically impacts long-term financial health. Benjamin Franklin's wisdom about saving first aligns with modern behavioral economics. Research shows automation bypasses emotional financial decisions. The most effective methods include payroll deduction, automatic transfers, and pre-authorized investment contributions. The impact of delayed saving is staggering. Consider twin brothers. Hank saves 8% of his $50,000 salary for 10 years, then stops, while Simon begins saving the same percentage a decade later, but continues for 30 years. Despite Simon saving three times longer, he ends with less money, $489,383, compared to Hank's $629,741. Compound interest is unforgiving. Each year of procrastination requires progressively higher savings rates for the same result. Sound investment strategy is surprisingly straightforward, just common sense, vanilla products, and time-tested principles. With stocks, you can either buy an index fund that matches market returns or try beating the market. Mathematically, investors using market-matching index funds will outperform most who attempt to beat the market. As Nobel laureate William Sharp noted, believing otherwise requires assuming that the laws of arithmetic have been suspended. One of the most damaging misconceptions in personal finance is that saving requires sacrificing enjoyment. In reality, people who live within their means tend to be happier and less stressed. They're not consumed with consumption. As Jean-Jacques Rousseau understood, wealth is relative to desires. When we covet unaffordable things, we grow poorer regardless of income. The happiest people recognize that happiness flows from relationships, health, and making a difference, not expensive possessions. The path to financial freedom isn't about complex strategies or painful sacrifices, but making small, consistent choices aligned with your values and goals. True wealth means living without financial stress and having freedom to focus on what matters. Start today with one simple change, whether paying yourself first, saying, "I can't afford it," or appreciating what you already have. Your future self will thank you with a life of genuine abundance.